Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 137, brought to you today by Yoga Hosers, Adam's favorite movie, that he just regaled us with a 10-minute resuscitation of the excitement.
No, I don't even know what that movie is going to be.
Don't forget Moose Jaws.
Yeah, Moose Jaws and Tusk. Apparently it's the Canadian trilogy or something.
Something like
or the Great White North trilogy.
Whatever.
Actually, this is Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number
137.
Yeah, we were talking about walruses. Sure we were.
I like how you said actually, like they weren't sure. You had them guessing for a second.
What? Why did somebody decide to interrupt me, as usual? It was so nice last week.
Supposedly not, because I heard that your podcast went on way longer than it should have.
Yeah,
that's
no.
That's because we were having an intelligent discussion.
Yeah, it was
seriously
kind of,
doubt that, but...
there was no random comments about yoga or hosing.
Most of your comic book customer base is probably seeing Kevin Smith movies.
Yes. But 15 minutes on Yoga Hosers was a bit much.
So. I didn't spend 15
minutes. I had to edit all that out.
You didn't stop us.
That's true.
And.
What, last week?
Wait.
Oh, yeah. 15
minutes.
Hey, wait. I got this, though. He didn't stop us, but then he continued the discussion on the podcast.
Well, I couldn't believe he was still talking about it.
It was dead. You brought it back to life.
Yeah, it wasn't. We weren't even recording. Now you've brought it into everybody.
It's 12 after 8, and I've been sitting since 8 waiting to start as you've been talking about all these Kevin Smith movies. So.
Go on.
Okay. But it's Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 137, which Pat figured out what the very important death was.
Jean Grey.
That's correct. Way back in, like, 1980. And she's never been back. Oh, wait. Yeah, she has. Okay.
About 3 dawn.
Yeah, but not, like...
Really back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of back. Well, she got married when she came back.
Yeah, she really came back the second
time. Remember, she was in a cocoon at the bottom of, just outside New York.
Cocoons are the best way. X Factor.
Yeah, I never... How did she breathe on the cocoon? I never quite figured that one out.
She didn't need
I didn't ask a lot of questions.
We can.
I was young.
That
impressionable.
You didn't know better.
Yeah,
exactly. It was in Fantastic Four. Who understood? Nobody understood.
But well, yeah, it's the greatest comic magazine of all time.
True.
What I saw with another thing. Fantastic Four finding cocoons. Like, remember Adam Warlock? Adam Warlock. I don't know. You might have found him in a cocoon, and that's why he performed. But. What's
Hold on, slow down. You're getting a little. Yeah, it was a lot better last week.
Yeah.
We'll do another one later. Don't worry. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
Yeah, that was the voice we didn't hear last week. He blew us off, and now he came back with his tail between his legs.
He didn't do his penance yet, though.
No. Maybe we'll take voter or listener requests.
I thought mine was just fine. He has to read Fear Itself twice and battle the Atom once.
Okay.
Yours was too cool.
I'll see you guys now. I'm not reading that.
No, Fear Itself and all the other tie-in issues.
I'll tell you all about it, though.
No.
All right.
No. So I can't really think of any news that happened this week. I know, like, the new previews comes out next week, so there was lots of, you know, all the teasers
December,
and stuff
yeah.
coming out this week. But I tend not to look at it because I then start confusing myself.
Just some TV news, I think.
Yeah,
they cast Scott Glenn as Stick. I really think that was inspired casting. I'll give him...
Pittsburgh guy.
Oh, I don't even know that.
Yeah,
he's got the look. He definitely, I think, he's got the look. I saw the cast of Jarvis. I don't know the guy, so it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah,
I forget the guy's name.
Yeah.
And what he was in. We're not giving any useful information.
No, not really. Thanks. I appreciate it. You're helping me out there. No, I'm not struggling, stranded here. But yeah, mostly TV stuff. And it dawned on me that it's like the end of September. These shows are all going to be starting. I got to hit the
next week.
Yeah,
I got to hit the DVR and start setting everything up.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is Tuesday.
Yeah, and they moved it back an hour, which I kind of like, because normally I don't get out of here till like 7:45, and so I always would miss the beginning and have to then watch late.
Well, but Flash will be on Tuesday at 8, so you got Flash at 8, then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at 9.
So I just and so I got and then I got to read my stack of comics Tuesday night. So what am I going
to
do?
And then Wednesday you got Arrow that you're not able to watch.
They're moving Arrow to the same day as Flash.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
I thought they were doing it back-to-back, but maybe not.
No, that wasn't. They were keeping Arrow on Wednesday and doing Flash on Tuesday. Yeah,
Constantine's on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, didn't mean to yawn.
I think Saturday at this point is the only night that doesn't have a comic book property.
And anybody know, I should look this up, when the Netflix
series
are going to be starting?
They haven't announced.
They're filming Daredevil now.
Okay.
They're announcing the cast of Daredevil in New York Comic Con.
Okay.
So I'm sure we'll probably.
So we're ways away, though.
Rumors of a Teen Titans show starting.
I saw
that.
And then today there was rumors of a pilot for Lucifer.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So it's like, man, they're really starting to. And if it's TV shows, DC's really dominating the TV, the network landscape right now.
Yeah, except for none of them are, well, with the exception
of... None of them have cheese, I understand.
Well, there's that. But with the exception of Flash and Arrow, none of them are related to one another, which could be a bad thing, but I think it's a missed opportunity, too.
It is, but it also, I think the one good thing, because I was listening to another podcast criticizing that, and I said, but you know, it lets them be their own.
That's true.
They don't have to worry about tying into a big picture. They don't have to worry about continuity type things.
And if they're not tying into the movies anyways, then...
Right.
And I read something
about
that today.
It's
going
to be neat to see Flash and Arrow crossover. That was neat.
Yeah.
But where would Constantine really cross over to? You know, Titans, maybe, WB.
Titans,
I could see that with Flash, but...
Yeah.
They say that a lot of these television shows are doing a lot better in a way than, like, movies, because you can watch them whenever you want. Mm-hmm. So they're getting a lot out of that, especially with shows like big shows like Mad Men and Walking Dead and stuff like that. These shows are doing a lot better than actually movies.
I'm sure they're having to figure out, like, the Nielsen ratings are completely buggered up now because, you know, how many people...
DVR.
I watch a lot of stuff on Hulu, especially, like, Tuesday morning checking in the order or even, like, Wednesday morning when I'm pulling subs.
Yeah.
I'll just have something playing. Like, I watched The Daily Show and Colbert this morning, so that's not going to reflect on their actual ratings. But I wonder if they take that stuff for, like, a weekly thing. Okay, this was watched so many times on Hulu. This was on demanded X amount of times.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sure part of the deal.
There has to be some way to do that.
Have those shows
what?
To report.
I said on demand.
You know what I meant.
I know, it's just funny.
It'll be a new word in Webster's. I forget what the ones they added this year were, but I just remember shaking my head at them.
Those aren't words.
But basically, at this point in society, as long as you understand what I'm saying, we're good, even though it's a weird...
EOD'd.
And it looks like, looks like Amazon might be doing a pilot for The Tick.
Okay, yeah, and then right now they're filming for PlayStation is doing Powers. So, yeah, it's like all over the place. Luckily, I have Amazon and I have a PlayStation. So unless I have to get the network or whatever that is.
I think PlayStation the PlayStation Network's free, though, isn't it?
That'll work. I don't
it
have
used
to pay.
To be. I think now they charge for it.
Forget that. Sorry, Bendis.
You have kids. How do you get away with not paying for it?
We buy games.
No, but do you have to have that to play multiplayer?
We don't play multiplayer.
But
he hasn't figured that out. He's 9.
You don't have a PS4, though.
No, we have a PS3.
PS3, he's good.
Yeah. Unless you have to have a PS4 in order to see the show, and then you got to go spend...
I doubt that.
$600.
Then I won't see the show. Yeah, that's easy. No, I'm not spending $600 to watch Powers. That I remember him telling us about in Vegas in 2007, so I'm not super worried about that.
Oh, okay.
There was a retailer show in Vegas, and Bendis came to it and spoke to us.
The fact that you remember anything that happened in Vegas is amazing.
That was a good boy. It was a business.
He wasn't
trip.
Doing it right.
Well, it was me and my brother-in-law, so.
Yeah, but remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
You can't really do anything wrong.
Sure you can. You knock him out, and then you go do something wrong. And
No, but, yeah.
It's like The Hangover, but in real life.
I had one of those nights last time we were in Vegas, so. It was a good time. The girls went to get manicures and pedicures, and a friend and I went to the bar, had all you could drink for $20 for a 3-hour window.
That's
best
dangerous.
$20 I spent that entire weekend.
It's because it's the only $20 you remember spending the
entire weekend. I remember spending the rest. Like, I went to the roulette wheel and cashed in $20 in chips, and 3 spins later, I walked away from the roulette wheel. And I was like, okay, that was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Can I go back to the bar?
Woo!
Yeah, can I go back over there? That was a lot more fun. But... So I thought maybe we'd hit previews today. So do we want to talk about books or do we want to do previews?
I didn't realize this was a democracy.
Well, I'd offer. I'd ask. Anything somebody's eager to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about Walking Dead, okay. Actually.
There you go. We'll do recent books.
Okay.
The next segment is... No, I'm sorry.
And now back to you, Colin.
Okay, well, you talk about it first, and then I'll...
Okay. So, Walking Dead 131 is... You know, we talked in the last issue, 130, you know, the dead are talking.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, no, this guy is nuts. I don't think this guy's nuts. I really don't. And here's why. They've been at this now for several years.
I apologize.
That's okay.
Breaking news, Jonathan Dwyer was arrested for domestic violence. What a genius.
It's not like people care about that right now.
Right.
The NFL's like not cracking news. Down yeah. or anything. But, okay, so these guys have been at it for, you know, several years. These were guys who were on patrol, so obviously they're used to seeing this stuff. You don't just snap like that. So, sorry. You know.
Like Jonathan Dwyer? What?
No, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Then they had the two-page splash in the middle of the book where the barn door opens, oh, God, and you know, there's zombies. And then you don't see it, it's not resolved. You don't see what happens. My guess is, yeah, the dead are talking now. Because if they're not, what made this guy snap like that? I think his name was Kevin.
I think that just being out there, wasn't he pretty well alone?
No, he was with his partner, and
he out of it though? Because wasn't he like
he broke his leg? But the guy that broke his leg wasn't the one that snapped. It was the other guy that snapped.
They went looking for the guy that broke his leg.
Yeah. So that's it. Just I can see how it wouldn't be that. Like I'm not going to be surprised if Kirkman just says no, this guy went nuts. But that would definitely be something different. I mean. Over time, things evolve. The virus may have evolved, and now it allows them to talk.
They acting smarter in any other ways, though?
But we haven't seen them. Because, zombies are not in a zombie book. But the other option, and I think, Colin, you and I talked about this the other day, was, you know, maybe it was a situation where someone was... they covered themselves up in guts and all that to look like a zombie, to blend in. They were walking, saw those guys, and they were the ones talking, and it's maybe another group that's kind of cohabitating with them, and as long as they look like them, dress like them, smell like them, they're left alone.
Or like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be that too. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Could be Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's would have been a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you. So, but it was very interesting that would be a direction they would take it. I still like the idea of having a zombie book where you actually have the point of view of the zombie.
I could see like a mini series doing that. I don't know about a full blown.
Well, no,
ongoing.
But you know, something like that. Definitely take
would
it in
he
a
have much
direction.
Of a point of view though? He'd just be wandering.
Brains.
I'm sorry. Maybe he started from like getting infected and then slowly like progressed.
What if he like zombie. Like half of them like get stuck on like fences and stuff? What if he was just like
a whole issue?
And
he's like
stuck. That was it.
I've had a lot of, I don't want to say complaints, but I guess complaints is the best thing. Just people that's just not going anywhere. They were happy. That we didn't have to watch them building this village and everything,
yeah.
So that it jumped ahead. But since then, it's just not a whole lot has really happened. We're at least three issues in.
Carl's moved to the hilltop.
Right.
Then this happened. The new group.
Like, it started off exciting and interesting with the new group being added. And then you had the thing with Negan, but this one is just kind of, okay.
Well, and then they cornered Andrea at the end of
this
one.
Right, but
like,
you see that going in the first page.
You're
going
to give us answers.
In the first page of the next one, her going, okay, what do you want to know? You know, so I read that, and I'm like, okay.
Well, even Rick said, yeah, when I get back from the hilltop, we can talk about whatever you want. I'll take you down there. You can go see what's down there. You know, he wasn't really keeping a secret.
The one thing I did like was the fact that it finally mentioned Michonne. to make you realize you haven't seen her.
Well, and she's not there, so my guess is she's with Ezekiel in the kingdom.
Looking for another tiger?
That's what I assume. She's off at the kingdom.
Okay. Okay. But just, yeah, it's moving a little slow. After, you know, all-out war, which wasn't the best, but at least there was a lot of conflict and stuff. Right now, there's not a lot of conflict or stuff going on. It's like it's not the world building like when they got to that village. I forget what it was called. The town.
Alexandria?
No, the little walled neighborhood that they were in. You know, there was a lot. That was interesting with the new people and stuff, where this is just kind of, okay, where are we going here?
Yeah.
So, that's all.
Okay.
Okay, continue.
All right, so that's it for Walking Dead. Amazing Spider-Man. Anybody else read that?
Adam. Yeah, I read it. Adam did. I didn't read it.
That was a cop-out, I thought. I didn't like the start of that. It just...
I hated the beginning of it because it just... The first couple pages were just seemed so cheesy. With the whole... They were trying to say that he... Like, at the last issue ended with him... With J. Jonah Jameson trying to demask...
Spider-Man.
And...
That's never happened.
They come back to it, and everybody at the beginning is like, no, he can't do this. He can't, you know. And then at the end, it's just like, but he's standing in front of him. The shot. It's just like, camera. Are you serious? We've had cameras for how long in this world? And he didn't know that he was standing in front of a camera.
Well, but not only that everybody in that studio would have seen who it was.
Yeah, somebody would have. And the whole fact, it didn't even need to be there.
No.
It really didn't.
It was a very failed attempt at trying to be funny, I guess, but...
And the whole Black Cat thing, I don't think Dan Slott knows anything about the Black Cat, because he's turning her into a character that I can no longer care at all about anymore. Like, before, she wasn't really that my, like, favorite character, but they're making her seem like... He's writing her to be, like, this tough, like, gang leader or something.
Yeah.
And that isn't... And then her whole plan didn't make any sense. She traps Electro... And according to what she's trying to prove is that, is he Doc Ock or is he Spider-Man? Because if he saves one of his enemies, then it's Spider-Man, not Doc Ock. And it's just like, okay. And if you prove that, what then? Because it seems like she still wants to be this crime lord. So, like, none of it made any sense. None of it made any sense.
It hasn't. The stuff with her hasn't made sense for 6 issues now.
Yeah. It's out of character. I mean, I understand he punched her in the face, but it's just like, okay.
Dude.
But she knows.
NFL players do it all the time. Yeah.
She knows that he is, if she understands that it's Peter now, and it's not Doc Ock, then what is she still fighting it for? What is her plan here?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, she wants to be a crime lord for no reason. So, I don't know. I feel like it's a wasted... How many issues? Four?
Six.
Six issues, pretty much.
Yeah.
The only thing I've liked about it so far, I do like this new character. I like the relationship between her and Peter. They have a weird relationship because they're highly attracted to each other because of...
I'm interested to see why she's more powerful than he is.
Yeah. Which is interesting because he bit you. I don't know how spider science works. He got bit first, but
he's been able to use his abilities.
I'll have to tap into my
science.
Yeah,
you would think he's
science skills here. Spider science skills. But yeah, you think that they used up all the radioactive spider energy biting the first person.
But it's not even
she'd get the leftover.
Where she's more skilled at it. She doesn't seem like she has better abilities where she can make these different kinds of webs.
She can make different webs. She can organically make them. And then, first of all, I don't understand how she makes...
Spin out of her butt.
Yeah. That would be weird. I don't understand... I don't understand how she made an insulated web. Like, do real spiders make insulated webs to protect things against electricity? I'm going to say no. I don't need spider science.
Maybe if they spun enough of that
Maybe, stuff, but it just, like, she seemed like she knew in the book. She was just like, if I do this, it'll be insulated against electricity. And
it's in my apartment, I've cut down wires and tried this out.
Yeah, did she, like, test this?
Well, that's
like,
the thing. She's been locked up in a vault, basically,
if we use this
years.
One, it turns into plastic explosive. Like, you know, what? I'm just waiting to see what else. I just don't understand it. And his writing anymore has gotten really just weird. I don't know. It's like he's trying to be funny or cute, and it's not. Like, I'm wanting a little better of a Spider-Man story.
Since he did 30 issues or 30-some issues of the more, like, serious, less, like, quippy Doc Ock, he's trying too hard not to add in, like, the clever one-liners and be funny with this book, and it's just, it's not.
It's not working.
It's not working at all.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I think that's,
like, honestly,
I think he's done.
If it wasn't for Spider-Verse starting, I'd probably be done with this book.
Yeah,
at this point,
and I wonder. Enjoyable. Well, it makes me wonder, like, how well this is going to play out.
Well, but Spider-Verse is being written by other people. He's overseeing
it. He's writing the main story, though, which would take place in Spider-Man, because all this is Edge of Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
and then the regular Spider-Verse is going to take place in his main book. I don't know. I feel like this event better be good, because I think that's going to determine how many people are going to be reading Spider-Man. I think that's what people are leaving it at. So it kind of puts a lot of pressure onto him, saying, bring out a good Spider-Man book, or that might be it.
Sales have been dropping. I noticed a lot ever since the original Sin issues dropped, because a lot of people were like, I'm not reading original Sin. So they passed on those, and then they haven't come back, and a lot of people put them back.
No, the only problem with that is then you don't know who Silk is if you go back to reading it now.
Right.
Or for the Edge of Spider-Verse, like, who's
but
this
then
character?
If they're dropping that, they're dropping Spider-Verse. You know, drop. My other concern with it is we're having to put our numbers in for the Spider-Woman, which has the, you know, Monero variant, but it's basically Spider-Woman and Silk. At least that's who's on the cover, so you're assuming that's going to be the main characters in the book. And I'm sitting here going, okay,
how do you order that?
How do I order this?
There's a Spider-Woman book?
Yeah.
Oh, that's that one that got all the controversy.
Yeah. Now, that's where somebody texted me and said, okay, you know, I want the Monero variant. I'm like, nope.
How many of them you got to order?
50. It's a 1 in 50 variant. I'm like,
how many copies of Spider-Man are you selling?
Probably about 45 right now.
Yeah, so I'd say cut that in half, and that's probably where you're at.
Right. So I'm just like, there's no way. So, and I think that is a failing on Marvel's part, is they have this cover out there, but there's not going to be many books, because I don't see many stores ordering 50 just to get a copy of that variant. Because 50, I think, is just way too high for Spider-Woman, because Silk is, you know, a new minor character, and Spider-Woman isn't exactly lighting the world on fire. You know, she's in Secret Avengers that I think I'm ordering single digits of.
I think they're, what are they doing, strongly just using her because she's a strong female character?
That could be.
I mean,
I don't know.
And they don't have that many?
In the books where she's a supporting character, she's fine.
Yeah.
But
can she carry a book?
Yeah. I can't see that. How did she do on that? Well, that was a Motion comic, wasn't it? That thing that they...
Yeah.
That was just weird. If Bendis could only get it, what was that, 5 or 6 issues? You know, Bendis and Alex Malev, where is this going?
I think that's a lot of what they're just trying to do, is bring out strong female characters, because they don't have... They don't have a lot of female characters that can hold a book.
Yeah.
You know, DC
but just,
at least
but that's
has
not
Wonder
even,
Woman.
Right, but that's
Wonder
not
Woman
even,
can hold her own book, usually.
But that's not even the problem with the character. The character might be able to hold the book if you could write a decent story.
Yeah. Well, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, if they... I think that's what they're trying to do, but... Like, they're doing that with Storm. They brought out Storm. They brought out a full female X-Men, you know...
But yeah, but that got derailed by things that had nothing to do.
Well, but that's still their fault.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with, you know, the story itself. That had to do with other reasons.
Because that was selling well at first, wasn't it?
Which book?
The female X-Men book.
It was selling very well, and here's where they killed themselves. It was selling very well to women. And I had several women that were coming in, and that was the only book they were getting. And then they crossed it over into Battle of the Atom.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen those women back.
That derailed. Because
they got the first one of that, and they're like, this has nothing to do with my book. And they didn't come back.
Well, that derailed all new X-Men. It derailed Uncanny for a little bit.
And then right after they do that, they bring out... what was that other event that they... Oh, it wasn't an event. It was that tie-in, the crossover of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Trial of Jean Grey.
Well, that didn't go into the X-Men book, though. I think it was just all new X-Men.
Yeah, I know. It was all new X-Men.
But Battle of the Atom really hurt the X-Books. It wasn't that great of a story, and...
It didn't lead up to anything.
No, and it derailed a lot of storylines, so... And specifically that book, it really killed that book for me.
Edge of Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Noir.
I read that.
Yeah, I liked that.
It was good.
It was all right.
I didn't... That's the first time I've read anything with Spider-Man Noir.
Oh, see, I really like the first miniseries.
Spider-Man
Noir
was really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't read the
Actually,
second one, but the first one was good.
Noir. Spider-Man was good. I don't think I read Daredevil. Did you read Daredevil?
I started. I don't think I ever finished it.
Yeah, there was X-Men, I think I might have read.
Okay.
But yeah, they're decent. I like this one with the villain being
Mysterio,
which I haven't done. The video game, they had Vulture.
Okay.
As the noir villain.
But I like how they did Mysterio, too. Harry
Instead
Houdini
of,
type.
Maybe illusion.
It, yeah.
Yeah, he still did illusions. It was more tricks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've had a few, like, and it ties into the first volume, the first run of that, because they talk about Norman Osborn being the mob boss.
Okay.
The Goblin.
Now, what about the Black Cat? Was that, or, you know, Felicia Hardy, was that, because she had a mask, something had happened?
It's been a while since I've read that. Yeah, it could have been.
Okay.
It was good. It's worth a read because it's not a lot like the read. It's not a lot of books. I think it might have been like three or four.
Okay.
But, well, yeah.
Maybe I'll check that out then.
They did a whole bunch of them. Daredevil, X-Men.
I saw there's a Punisher Noir.
Punisher.
Mm, yeah.
I think Luke Cage might have had one. I'm not positive about that, though.
Yeah.
Okay. That just seems to be an odd choice for that time period. But
not necessarily. People still exist, though.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
Adam.
Yeah. History 101 with Adam.
Yep. Deadpool, which was a lost issue from the 90s. It was actually kind of funny because he was riding around with Sabretooth. And at one point, you know, he makes a joke and calls him a Wolverine knockoff. And then Wolverine or Sabretooth fires back, "Say hi to Slade." So it was very self-aware.
Yeah.
And I guess it's tying into when he killed his own parents and kind of how much mind control do they really have over him and everything. It was a funny issue, so I kind of liked it.
Yeah, killing his parents, that's pretty funny.
I thought it was hilarious. You know, people have issues. Let me tell you. You know, sets it on fire. He doesn't remember who he is. He, you know.
Nothing compared to the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is a comic book. It's not real life. It's not like he punched out his wife in an elevator or something. So, yes, that was Daredevil. Or Deadpool. DC, I read Batman.
Yeah.
That was something.
Interesting.
I don't understand how that supposedly took place five years in the future when the one from Detective took place five years in the future.
Yeah, Detective and Batman and Robin fit together much better than Batman.
Okay. And you know, obviously haven't read Batman and Robin yet, but the clones. Here's the problem I have with that. Why didn't he approach Dick Grayson? Because the whole thing is the world needs a Batman. We're only talking about 5 years in the future. Dick Grayson.
Well, I didn't read
still
Grayson,
around.
So what was going on?
He's in Russia.
Well, that's why.
It didn't really make any sense.
That's
either.
Why.
Well, right, but Russian. That's just it. It didn't make sense. Why didn't he bring him back? And you know, because Spiral, it seems like, wasn't around anymore.
No, he wasn't. He was still in Spiral, yeah.
But it wasn't Spiral anymore. Like whatever mission he.
I don't know. Dude, it looked like they were undercover for Spiral.
Yeah, they were still in Spiral.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she was talking about how, like, she was saying how she had to maintain her cover.
The story went backwards.
Oh, I know that the story went backwards.
They were going, well, that's what it was going. It was going all the way back to the plan of going in and infiltrating inside of KG Beast operation, which right there is enough to say that this was going to be odd because KG Beast was the villain and then he hardly was a villain. So it was a very weird book. It was mainly like this weird love story between him and
Bertinelli.
Bertinelli, but it was really him and Bruce.
Yeah, and in the end, yeah, that's what it was. But no, it was a very odd book, and I don't even understand like why KG Beast was in power of Russia and he took over Europe or something, most of Europe. I was just like, well, this seriously happened because of that war? Like, yeah. There's a lot more to explain than this. Just a little too big of a story was happening.
Yeah, I mean, some of those things didn't make sense. I didn't mind how they told the story, though, backwards. I kind of liked how they did that, but... Yeah, some of the plot points were a bit far-fetched.
I don't get why he didn't contact Dick or someone else to become... But why would he go the clone route?
I could see that being the case if it were, you know, a larger time jump in the future.
Right, yeah.
Because they were trying to tie it in with that story from Detective Comics 27, that short story that Snyder and Sean Murphy did.
Yeah.
But 5 years in the future doesn't work for the story at all.
Yeah.
I don't even really... Yeah, well, they're not communicating with each other in this. I think that's really the biggest problem. But certain books kind of work on their own. Like, Swamp Thing worked pretty good on its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And kind of interesting, because I was like, well, maybe they'll explain more of this a little later on. Give us a little taste of that. And that's why I kind of like Future's End, because it's giving us a taste, hopefully, of
what it'll look like. Yeah. Green Lantern Corps.
I didn't read that.
Cover looked good, I just didn't get a chance to read it.
It was,
He's a Compassion Lantern.
Well, that's what eventually happens at the end of it, and somehow Compassion destroys Will, which I don't get.
I never really understood how those lanterns, like, show compassion. Like, all they do is not speak.
They say knock.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Like, but how do they, like, at least, you know, Green Lanterns need willpower, Yellow Lanterns use fear, but they're, like, compassion? They don't seem very compassionate. Like, are they over there, like, petting kittens? They're needing, like, broken limbs or something? I don't understand.
But that's, you know, it's almost like they take people and enslave them.
Yeah, that's why I can't understand how compassion works in this. Unless it's showing compassion to them, because they're former criminals and they're, like, giving them a life outside of that again.
And that's why they need to have a Tales of the Indigo course. We can figure that out.
So we figure out these Indigo Lanterns.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all prisoners.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But that... Good. You know, that was...
secret language. And they had a lot to explain about Abin Sur.
Yeah, Abin Sur created them, and they never really went into that.
So, I don't know how compassion... Maybe Abin Sur was showing compassion, but that doesn't mean their rings are supposed to be powered by their emotion, so...
Yeah.
I don't get it with them.
But he eventually, the way it happens is John Stewart becomes the new Indigo One.
Which kind of makes sense.
But it was kind of weird because, you know, basically ever since the you know, when Fatality didn't want anything to do with him, he basically became, a one-man killing spree for the Green Lanterns. You know, like all these missions where they got to go out and kill people. Uh-huh. That's what he does. And then somehow, you know, she senses compassion in him, and that destroys willpower. You know, willpower loss as Green Ring flies away, and he becomes, you know, the new leader of the Indigo Tribe. So it was really confusing, and I think part of it's because I don't know enough about, you know, the Indigo Tribe and how that's supposed to work, but I don't know how compassion destroys willpower.
Yeah, I don't get that.
You know, because it should be the opposite, which is fear destroys willpower, and that's not how it worked. So I don't know. Birds of Prey.
Nope.
No?
Go fish.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Black Canary is the new leader of the League of Assassins, and she calls them the Red League. And, like, she goes out and you know... Like the slave trade essentially is what it is, and she goes out, and she finds these girls, and rescues them, and the ones that resist, you know, they're captors the most. She recruits them into the League of Assassins. You know, she trains them, and basically they go off and break up other slave rings. And then at the end, she runs into Batgirl, but it's the Batgirl from 5 years in the future, which is kind of the Bane version. Yeah, Black Beast or whatever her name
So they tie that together with Batgirl? Because Batgirl had a lot of that, too.
Yeah, well, and that's what it was, because as I'm reading it, it said, you know, as seen in Batgirl, you know, one-shot.
Oh, they're trying to sell you that one, too.
Yeah, which I read that one anyway.
Yeah, it looked interesting.
But, so it was an interesting take on it, without the excessive violence and all that. Kind of remind me of The Slavers, which was a Punisher story in Punisher Max. Just on a much, much toned down level. And then Batgirl, which, that was interesting. Did anybody else read that?
Yeah, it was
a little bit of it.
It was good. It was definitely a weird story.
Yeah. Cause I thought she killed her brother.
No, because she thought she did, but then,
oh, you mean
he's
the
still
main
alive.
Story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Batgirl, now he comes back.
Okay.
He's actually, haven't you been reading Batman Eternal?
Yeah.
He was.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Because she finally, in the last issue before the Future's End of Batgirl, she finds out that she didn't really kill her brother.
Okay.
That was the thing that Nightfall told her at the very end.
Okay. Well, and I wasn't reading Batgirl, so, you know, I kind of got bits and pieces, and I thought that she had killed him or something.
Do we know who's running the bad guy is in Batman Eternal yet?
I'm a couple issues behind, so I don't
know. Who's
newest is Hush.
Yeah, is it? I mean, is Hush leading everything? I keep on thinking, feeling like this is going to lead us back to Thomas Wayne.
I mean, Jr. I feel like there's someone else involved right now. What they've been showing us is that Hush is kind of the one that is top of the pyramid, but I think Hush is reporting to someone too.
It seems like, yeah.
I wonder if maybe it's the Court of Owls.
Because they were calling him Mother, remember?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the Court of Owls, because I don't think they're used. I think it might be Thomas Wayne.
Junior.
I think they're leading us to him, because if you notice, like, they're the, both of them are sons of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of them is Elliot, which is Hush. The other one is Zachary Gate, which is the unofficial one. And then Thomas Wayne would be a Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they already dealt with Cobblepot. That. But I said, I wonder if they're leading us to something like that. Because this seems really big. Like, a really big something's going to happen. I feel like it's more than just Hush. You know, it's not another Hush story. Like,
well, and that's just it. We're 20 issues into it. And it's going to end up going for another 25, 30 more issues.
Well, and then his code name was Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that means there's a father somewhere, right?
You would think.
I assume, because why would you use one name? I guess they could, but...
it's modern, could be divorced, single parent.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling there's something. It's just a little bit more to...
I think we're going to see a whole lot more once the next issue of... the main Batman story comes out, since that
Endgame
takes place after the end of Eternal.
And then the reveal, I'm jumping in front of you.
That's okay.
Of Batman Eternal, I thought it was kind of interesting, the tie of the lion to Catwoman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, did anybody else think of that at all? Like, I wasn't even putting that together. Yeah. And I thought that was interesting. And they talk about the lion a little bit. Falcone talks about, I think it was Cobblepot, like, explains in earlier issues that, like, he was the guy that Falcone took over from, and it got to the point, it was like survival of the fittest, you know, and
he became the old lion,
by taking him over, and killing him, and then this one hit, or whatever. And I said, you know, the character seems kind of interesting, because, you know, he's kind of new, but they fit him into the continuity a little more.
And his motives. I mean, he doesn't have the same motives as, like, the other criminals.
So, and then the fact that he was, like, roomies with Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, nobody ever saw it, because he had to shave his beard, and then he has all these scars. The scars are interesting, man, because they're, like circles, like, above his mouth and then below, right across from each other. So I'm like, well, how do you get those, you know? There's a lot of things about this book that are just, every issue, they seem to add something to it. You know?
Yeah, they're adding to the mythology, I guess, with this book quite a bit.
Yeah.
Touching on a lot of different characters.
Now, how many issues did we decide it was? Somebody was saying,
like, Future's End is 40 something.
Yeah, I think it's 48, and
I think
it's 52.
Longer, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we're still not even halfway there yet.
I feel like it's going to lead us somewhere. It's a villain we probably know, but like I don't think it's Joker.
Well,
I really don't.
With it being a weekly book, I don't think you know we're just in the beginning part of the second arc.
Yeah.
Or you know the second stage of this. So I can't see that we really know what we think we know yet. Although it looks like the next issue. Or the issue that came out today, I think, is the one that was essentially...
In the future.
Well, no, it was the part that was part of, what was it, 28? Batman 28? Spoiler alert.
That has it with, like, 30.
Oh, 30 is where they're, I think, destroying Arkham.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, because I knew that...
To lead into, what is it, Gotham Academy?
Okay.
Or Arkham...
Arkham Academy?
Yeah, whatever that was.
That leads into
Arkham
it.
Something, yeah. It explains why
it's
Wayne
Arkham.
Manor has to become...
It's Arkham Manor.
Okay. Okay.
And then the other one's Gotham Academy.
Okay. You were close. We had the right words, just wrong order.
Yeah.
This is a serious podcast.
You look like you're ready to go golfing.
What's wrong with that?
Maybe I am.
Okay. It's a little dark.
A little bit.
He'll use a glow in the dark, but I'll be all right.
Yeah.
You had to wear your good outfit for the job
That's
interview.
That's the challenge.
Did you have night golfing?
No, I didn't. This is my one that I have to wear to work.
Oh.
Couldn't go back and change. I didn't have enough
time. Okay.
I like the suspenders. It's a good look.
Yeah. Totally. This is.
But like... I think it's a bit much with the rainbow wig.
Well, you know, I think that's special for us. And it's true. The bow tie does pull it all together. Yeah.
Bow ties are cool.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad. Anybody read that?
I heard that was terrible.
It was, Deadshot only has one arm. They cloned Deathstroke so that, you know, he's essentially a young man, but he has all the knowledge and abilities as, you know, a younger version of himself.
In addition to the one that's running on Cadmus right now.
Yeah, they tried to do it to, Black Manta, and, you know, basically he's, you know, a mouth breather at this point. He can't really do anything. And then Harley Quinn was jacked up on Venom. So they go to, basically they were trying to clone supervillains and make a better Suicide Squad. And one of the ones they were cloning was the Joker. So
what could go wrong there?
Yeah. Well, there was two of them. They were twin Jokers, and they were like adolescents. And, you know, Harley snaps and, you know, goes after them. But she gets killed. In the end, they all die. And then Amanda Waller blows up the facility. But it wasn't a really good issue.
Are you reading the new Suicide Squad?
Yes.
Book? How's that been?
I'm a little disappointed with it.
Yeah, it sounds like the launch has been kind of lackluster.
I originally picked it up because of the preview that they had, I guess it was a week before it came out or a couple weeks before it came out. And, you know, because, like, the Joker's daughter's on it and Harley's on it, and, you know, there was a lot of conflict there. But, you know, essentially Waller's in charge. They got some other guy that's in charge, and he wants to do things his way. It's been a bit of a mess. Now I'll probably read at least through the first arc just to see if it goes somewhere, but if it doesn't get better, I'll drop that book and then Colin will cry.
I'm looking forward to Secret Six.
Yes.
In December. That's when it comes.
I think so, yeah. Because it'll be in the next previews.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I saw
October for December. Yeah.
And then Future's End.
I'm loving Future's End.
I am now.
It was very slow for a very long time, but it has really picked up.
Yeah.
And the one that came out today was fantastic.
Well, I remember you had said, you know, there's a big reveal, and I'm like, what's the reveal? I get to the end, I'm like, I what did I miss? What's going on? Well, the reveal we already knew, but the general public didn't know, was Superman is actually Shazam. I'm assuming that this week picks right up on that, and there's going to be obviously some repercussions.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there wasn't any specific, but that was good, what happened regarding that. And then another interesting thing was it jumped 30 years into the future and showed Mr. Terrific. And that scene was very, very cool. And that's what the cover was.
Okay.
That was really good. So I'm enjoying that one a lot.
I would say it looks a lot like the Joker to me, but...
Yes.
Did you read the Earth 2?
Yes.
One?
Yeah.
That was interesting. I don't quite understand the duplicates, though, because I understand that, like, they have duplicates, but I'm assuming, like, Superman would have a... Well, I guess he did, but it's dead, but... certain characters, I figured, like, don't have their duplicate, like, or they're not...
What is
like,
the Earth 2 versions of them?
Well, but that's
Like Huntress. Like, there's no Huntress, because she's not born... But wouldn't she be born? Because it's a...
Well,
identical.
Not necessarily. Because, well, no, but it's not identical. It's an
so not everybody can have a duplicate?
Yeah, you know, in some cases, you know, you go to school and nothing happens. Other days, you go to school, you get kidnapped by some pervert, and, you know, then you're all messed up.
What school did you go to?
I'm just thinking...
I told you,
just,
I went to Catholic
school. Wow,
what
a metaphor.
We just learned a lot about Pat right there.
I told you, I went to Catholic school, so...
Let's talk
that's
more
what
about that
in Philadelphia.
Yeah. No, but, you know, so... There's divergent things that would have happened in Earth, too. So, you know, maybe some of them died at birth or, you know, Krypton blew up at a different time and he ends up in Russia or...
He did?
Yeah.
Something.
See? So things like that happen.
I guess.
But no, I think that book really has really turned the corner. It took a long time to set up, though.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's unfortunate.
It
lost
a lot,
people.
Yeah. Yeah, lost process. A lot of people, but I think that's been really
which
but there's a big
World's End too,
right? And that's my concern. Like, so World's End is probably going to be a subset of the Future's End readers. So how do I order that? Do I order that at less than Future's End?
I'd order that at your Earth 2 numbers.
Yeah,
because
well, how different really is your Earth 2 numbers versus your Future's End numbers?
They're close. Future's End probably a little bit low. Little
I think people are still
going
to be like I'm not interested because of Future's End. I'm interested because I'm interested in Earth 2.
Okay.
So that's probably where I.
That's like all the little hints that they're dropping in Earth 2 or in Future's End. You know, like the thing with Superman, especially when you read this one about Red Robin and stuff. So.
Yeah, because they didn't run that story that Red Robin's still alive, or they hadn't as of last issue.
Well. Because she doesn't know yet.
She was sitting.
She's
on
not
it.
Right. She's not certain.
Yeah.
Is Teen Titans going to explain a lot of that stuff
I don't know.
Dealing
I didn't
with
read the Teen Titans?
That's what I was curious about because I wanted to know more about what like happened with them in this story, which they haven't really explained. So I was hoping I forgot all about that.
Well, I'm
going
to give you. I'll give away a little bit of it, but one of the reasons Tim says that he quit being Robin was after the explosion and he had Wonder Girl's brains all over him. That kind of led him to. Not want to keep going. So.
I wouldn't like that either.
Yeah, that's...
So I ruined that for you. I apologize. But...
Gross.
Were you graphic?
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome.
It's all right.
Okay. Keep going. What you got?
Go ahead. Someone else.
Red book, new image book, Copperhead. Copperhead. Jay Faber, who's done a lot of little things.
An
Image, Noble Causes, I think he did. And Dynamo
5. I liked.
It's basically your pretty standard space western. You have the new sheriff coming to town. Previous sheriff died. She's having to leave some sort of bad situation, but you don't know exactly what.
Okay.
And she's coming to like this mining town out of nowhere, you know, the podunk old town and, you know. But it's very much, you know, western, but it just happens to take place in space.
It's Deadwood in space.
Well, there's the businessman who runs the town, comes to meet her with her son, like his hand on her son, very threateningly. She has, her deputy was up for the role, but because he's an alien from this planet, he didn't get the job. So you can tell that he resents her already. And then, of course, there's a murder in the first one and trying to figure out who it is. So very, I don't want to say standard plot, but a standard setup. But it was good. The art was good. I don't know. It's a new artist I don't remember the name of, but I thought the art was very good. So I enjoyed it. I thought that was very good.
All the aliens look like Dupe.
Yeah, a little bit like Dupe, but then some of it like had, yeah, like with extra arms and it was good. It was quite good.
Extra
arms.
I liked it.
Yeah. Death of Wolverine 2. I thought was good. Just a little more setup. He's still not dead.
Did he get past the staple?
This one did. There wasn't nearly as much stuff in the back, but it was still $5, so it was a little annoying. But it was good. You find out who is a little more behind it, and just some more stuff going on. He gets kind of rescued by someone you wouldn't expect, or at least I wouldn't have expected. And then at the very end, Kitty Pryde shows up, so apparently issue 3 is going to be something about them going back to Japan.
Has he sneezed yet?
No, he hasn't, but it looks like he got his, like, eye ripped out. He had a fight in his eye, and the entire sound effect was, eye! So
it was eye?
It was eye. It was literally, that. Well, that's what he said, was just eye. So it was good. I mean, people that are getting it are going to keep getting it.
I think if my eye were ripped out, I wouldn't yell eye.
Yeah.
Like, did he say, like, the letter I or eyeball?
No, E-Y-E. Was what he said in the.
I might yell like the title of that book you were showing us earlier.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll leave that to the end of the podcast for when all the kids go to sleep.
That's right.
Okay.
This part's a little blue.
Yeah. So I also read a book called Team Dog. Actually, that came out this week. I'd gotten a preview. That was from Boom Studios. Yeah. I'm not sure who this is marketed at. It's like each page was its own like little joke about this school and with all these anthropomorphic characters, and he's just Teen Dog. And each page was like its own little one-page joke, you know, little, you know, setup, da-da-da joke. And it was fine for what it was, but I'm hearing, you know, these rave reviews online and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'm clearly not the target audience for this. This is not aimed at 46-year-old men.
No.
So. But not bad. I mean, it was cute, but yeah. I need to be a teen to like that, so. Then I read... One was from a couple weeks ago, Wayward. I don't know if anybody read this.
I heard of it.
It was a new one. It was from, I think, Jim Zub. Image book. Got a lot of hype. Interesting. Girl who is half Japanese, half Irish, had been living with her dad, who was the Irish part, and decided to go live with her mom in Japan.
It's not Psylocke, is it?
No, and is kind of like trying to figure out, and all of a sudden she like... I don't know if she has powers or something, but all of a sudden, like at first she's like, you know, can you help me find this place? And all of a sudden, like, she gets a vision of exactly the path she needs to walk to it. And then later on, she gets attacked in this alleyway, and there's all these cats around, and all of a sudden this girl comes and saves her, and she can see the way out of the situation, and, you know, jumping on this roof and all this, and gets out of the situation.
The human GPS.
And then the girl kind of disappears, so you don't know if she was real, or if she was like a cat that became a person, or what. So it was kind of all over the place. I mean, it was promoted as something like the new Buffy, or something like that. So,
okay.
Like, these guys that attacked her turned into, like, Ninja Turtles. It was like they peeled their skin off. It was weird, but not bad. I'll definitely check out number 2 to see what's going on with it. And then the other one was one that came out today that I normally try not to talk about the new ones, but this is another Image one that was really cute, and I know a lot of people are probably going to miss it, but it's called Oddly Normal. And it's basically Oddly Normal is a girl, and that's her name, Oddly Normal. Her dad is the most normal person in the world. Her mom is a witch who came from Witchland. I forget, they had a special name for it. And she was investigating humans, or the Muggles, let's say, in Harry Potter terms. Because the witch community knows nothing really about the humans. So she came to do a story, like, as a reporter,
okay,
live among the humans and figure out
and or
the normals. And so she went to find the most normal person she could. And so she found Mr. Normal, and that's literally his last name. And they fell in love because she was the most interesting and bizarre person he had ever met. And so he fell in love with her. So they have this little girl, but of course she doesn't fit in anywhere. She's got green hair. She's got pointed ears. Everybody at school calls her a freak. She doesn't fit in with either world.
Does she have magic?
You don't know that until the very end.
Okay.
Where the parents want to have a birthday party, and she takes all these invitations to school, and everybody throws them back at her. Nobody wants to come. Everybody hates her.
And she goes all Carrie. And
No. She gets home and her parents have this party, and she comes in and they're, you know, all, you know, where are your friends? And she's really upset that they don't seem to get it because, like, she doesn't fit in their world. Like, they're in their own world. They love each other. Everything's great, and they don't realize that she has no friends. That she's struggling. And so she makes her wish over the cake and says, I wish you were gone. Or something to that effect. And then, like, this huge thing happens, but nothing really happens at that time. She storms out of the room. The parents kind of go, did you see that? And then she's swinging in a tree out back, and then all of a sudden the tree's gone. The house is gone. And that's how the movie, it ends. It says, you know, be careful what you wish for. So, apparently she has powers that she didn't know she had and did it. But it was very cute. It's not a deep book. It's not a, you know, Hickman book, but it was a fun book, and I'll definitely read the next one. So that's all. I'm out. Somebody else go. I gotta go blow my nose.
I'll just mention one. I don't think you mentioned this. Constantine.
No, Constantine? I didn't read Constantine.
Previous podcast ago, I mentioned that, like, Constantine, I think, has kind of went downhill. It hasn't been that great. But this one-shot, this Future Zen one-shot, was really good. It had really good art. I can't remember who the artist was. I really can't. But it was a really cool story. It dealt with Dr. Fate. Just the helmet. What's his name? Naboo or something like that? What's the guy who possesses Dr. Fate's helmet? Does anybody remember?
It's Naboo, isn't it?
Is that what it's called? Naboo?
N-A-B-U.
N-A-B-U, yeah. I kept thinking of the planet in Star Wars. Yeah. I was Naboo.
Just made the connection myself.
But it dealt with him and Constantine, like, trying to trick the helmet because, you know, they're not really friends. They don't like each other. But they're very much alike is what's funny in this story because, like, they both only care about themselves. But it was good. I don't want to give away too much of the book because then some of these one-shots, if you give away too much of them, you give away way too much and then it's the whole story. So it was a good story. I liked it. Really worth picking up. Hopefully they do this with it. The other one that was really good was Phantom Stranger. I thought Phantom Stranger was really good. I've been a big fan of the book since it came out, really. I think they've stayed on course except for around that Blight. The Blight storyline wasn't very good. But this took place, as all of them, 5 years in the future. He has his last coin, and he uses it to... I took it that he was taken. He gives it to the ferryman for going across the River Styx. And he takes him, instead of going to Hades, I guess, he goes to... or to Hell, or wherever he was going to go. He goes to the Rock... it will take him to the Rock of Eternity to meet with a new council... because we all know what happened to the old council in the Shazam storyline. They all just die, I guess. But instead, God is having to meet with this new council. And it's a council of evil. Because they said, you know, what's better to meet, you know, to judge evil but evil. So, and being the Phantom Stranger in this is Judas... You know, he's, like, supposedly the most evil person ever to have existed. Maybe Hitler was worse, but... but anyways...
You can make that argument.
I don't know. I mean, one would betray Jesus, but maybe that's how it was supposed to play out. Colin. Who knows? That's... Yeah, we'll ask Colin. He can answer that. So, Colin, what do you think?
Who's
Judas
more
or
evil?
Hitler?
Jesus
and then he'll bring up Bobby Hitler, and we'll be on that. Yeah, but they judge him, but it turns out that, like, it's like Trigon and Mr. E from Constantine and Blight. There's some other guy. I don't know who he was, but a bunch of evil characters. And then his guardian angel, which
and
is
Superman.
Big in the book. And they all meet, and it turns out they had another plan. That basically, they were trying to just get into heaven to, like, rage war with God. And God figures out this plan. But God's presence is in Phantom Stranger, if you're not familiar with Phantom Stranger, God's presence in this story, his voice, is a little Scottish terrier throughout the whole story. And he talks and everything. And, like, the Scottish terrier shows up. And there's this really cool scene where, like, on the panel, it's the Scottish terrier and then Trigon. You know, we all know who Trigon is in this, right? Everybody knows who.
Yeah.
Big demon guy. And they're just standing face to face, like, and you're like, well, that Scottish Terrier is just going to tear him up. You know, tear him up. We know it's the presence of God. You know, any other way, we'd say, yeah, it was vice versa. But
Trigon might got this fight.
Trigon might win against the Scottish Terrier. No, but, you know, if you know the Scottish Terrier being God, you're just like, yeah, I don't think this is going to go well for Trigon. But, they get the coin back. He gets the coin back. He becomes Phantom Stranger again. And then it goes on from there. And then it's to be continued in the next series. Because technically, a lot of these issues have been the last issues for a lot of these books. Because these are the books that have been canceled. So Phantom Stranger's ending. And this was the last issue. That should have been the last issue of Pandora as well.
Okay.
And then they're going to be combined in the next month. And that also goes for All-Star Western.
I say, are they giving All-Star one of these books?
No, he's not getting one. But his book came out last week, and it ended. That was the last of All-Star Western.
Yeah.
Was that last week book. Okay. So, I was questioning, I asked Colin a little while back, it's been a few days ago, Justice League 3000, if that's even coming out. Or,
yeah, it's not
canceled. Yeah.
It's probably just not coming out this month.
It's just going to have its own issue.
Yeah, because it's not going to tie into this. Issue 12, Booster Gold and Blue Beetle are going to be
in it. I saw that in the solicits.
It is the pre-New 52.
Yes.
Booster Gold. Right. So I thought that was cute. But, that's kind of the books that I wanted to talk about. Dave.
MPH number 3 by Mark Miller.
That came out?
It came out. It was. This is a bunch of this guy Roscoe and his friends. They have this drug, this pill that gives them super speed for only a little bit amount of time. So they've spent this time robbing banks, keeping a lot for them. This takes place in Detroit. They've spent time robbing banks and keeping
a lot. Are they the guys that sold the Batmobile?
Probably, yeah, if they haven't recovered it yet. And they're given a lot of, they're throwing it out to the masses, too. And there's a guy, Mr. Springfield, who's the first person to use this drug.
Okay.
He's being held by the government.
He's from the very beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
They want him to catch these other people. The last scene was really good because one of the kids decides to go to the White House. So he's running down the White House and he gets stuck in one of the bathrooms when his speed wears off. And he's like popping pills trying to get it to work. And there the Secret Service shoot, 100 bullets through the door. And then they open the door and he's there sitting on the toilet and he says, "You missed." And then he takes off and he goes so fast he goes back in time.
Okay.
To which looks like the early 1900s or maybe the 1890s or so. So I thought it was an interesting ending. There's only like two more issues. I think it's just a five issue series.
Okay.
Lazarus.
I read Lazarus.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was good. It was very much a setup issue, trying to set up for the this big
conclave,
with all the families. But it was good. Did a good job of like fleshing out that world a little bit more, seeing Forever start to question the family and her origins.
Yeah, she's starting to question who she is and if she's really a blood from the Carlisle family.
Yeah, and then starting to bring in these other families we've heard about. We see the other Lazarus. In this issue,
it's
kind of a badass. So,
yeah, that was a great scene with the snow coming down, and I like how they talk.
She talked like in a very robotic way, almost
robotic, and it's like she's repeating things from her mother says, and she says, "My mother speaks," and then she says the line.
Yeah, she's very much like a pawn for the family, whereas Forever's, carries out the family's wishes, but she seems more like individual as opposed to just
She delivers the finger
from
her brother
Jonah,
who's being held by the Bittner family. I think
it's not Bittner.
No,
Hawk. I think
Hawk family. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, Hawk. Okay, that was probably the best thing I read. That was a really good issue. And I read Fantastic Four. From last week, it's wasn't as good as the previous few issues. Most of it's the Thing. He's in prison, arrested for the murder of the Puppet Master, and he has a fight with the She-Thing, who is Sharon Ventura. She's kind of the boss of the prison. And then Mr. Fantastic gets called to stop a supervillain attack with the new Frightful Four, with the Wizard and three other characters. They're from,
is it Hydro Man? Is Hydro Man?
No, they're from, like, I forget.
They keep changing them.
They're female serpents, but not from the Serpent Society, from something else, and I can't remember what they're from.
Yeah, they keep changing that team, that villain team.
I think it was the Wizard and these three other ones.
Usually it's the Wizard, and then they change, like, whoever's on the team. Like, it used to be Pastepot Pete, Trapster. And then they had Hydro Man in at one time. And then this is the last one I remember. Wizard, Hydro Man, Trapster. There was another person. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think those were the Dwayne McDuffie issues he wrote for a while. I don't know.
Could have been that, or it was it was Mark Waid's run. Like, at the
maybe
end
it was
Waid's
Mark Waid,
run.
Yeah. Okay. So not as good as the last few issues. I'm looking forward to the team getting back together because I saw in the previews, I don't know if it's this one or they're finally going to get back their blue uniforms and get back together. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention an Archie book since we haven't had an afterlife with Archie, but haven't like had forever. An afterlife with Archie in a while. But
yeah, I don't know why.
It's delayed.
But we have Wolverine dying in the Marvel Universe, and in last week's Betty and Veronica, they have left Riverdale.
For good. They just went to where Sabrina's from. Where's Sabrina from? What's that town called? It's Riverdale. They're a bunch of, like,
Salem? Oh, no, that's a cat.
I don't remember.
I thought she was from Riverdale.
I thought she lived in, a town adjacent to Riverdale. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Does anyone have a definitive map of the Archie universe?
We need the DC one.
You should. Your book is now in continuity with, or your story is in continuity with the Archie universe.
True.
That's true.
Craziness.
So, like, everything we're doing right now is part of the Archie universe.
Yes.
This podcast exists
in the Archie universe.
That means Archie really died. Should have been in a newspaper or something.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for why they left. That's there's just a lot of crying in this issue by all the characters.
You gotta feel bad for Archie. Both his girls leave at the same time.
Yeah, they're ghosts. They're gone.
They're ghosts? Mm-hmm. They died?
No, that's just the figure of speech in this system.
I'm confused.
Not literally like after a life with Archie.
Oh, okay. Well, they're zombies.
I just thought of something horrible. About Betty and Veronica, but I mean...
I think sicko. I knew where you were going with.
Well, I mean,
sicko.
I thought of a more interesting ending.
I like that ending. I like where your head's at.
We're all thinking it, you know, except for Colin. He's not thinking about that.
Apparently not Archie, because he could have pulled something.
Archie's dead, so they're like, "Good, we're ready. We can move on from Riverdale." It was always Archie that was getting away from that, in the way of that relationship, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Now that we've derailed the conversation and...
Adam derailed the conversation.
Yeah.
We were all thinking that.
So, Hawkeye finally came out.
What? They're still publishing that book?
They are.
Slowly, but steadily.
Kate Bishop or was it Clint
It was
Parr?
Kate Bishop.
Here's a shock.
It was actually a good issue, though, and it looks like it's the last of the, you know, Kate on her own out in L.A., but I think 22 Fractions.
How she survived, I don't know.
Fractions last issue anyway, so there's only
the
two
kindness
more.
Of her gay neighbors.
Those guys.
So, you see in this issue... Kate's, like, final confrontation with Madame Mask, and a character that you thought died at one point in the Kate stories is really alive, and it ties in with this big, you know, business that Madame Mask has been running with life model decoys and essentially is selling eternal life to the very rich. And Kate finds out that her father's also been involved with this, so that the book ends with Kate, you know, she's arrested and gets out of jail and is heading back east to try and rescue Clint Barton and also get revenge on Madame Mask and her father. So it wasn't a bad issue. It looks like the last two issues now are going to be squarely back in the New York stories. Now, is the book continuing after Fraction leaves?
No.
You know?
No.
They canceled it.
Okay. So, there's Hawkeye. What else? The Bunker, number 6. I don't think you guys are reading The Bunker, right?
Mm-mm.
So, The Bunker is like a pre-apocalyptic time travel book. So, the premise of The Bunker is there's this group of friends, and as they're about to all go off on their own separate ways, they find this bunker in the woods. It's buried, and whenever they go into it, they find all these artifacts and letters from themselves that were sent back from the future. And the letters are essentially telling them that they have caused this, like, an apocalypse. Famine, disease, food shortages, major loss of population. So each one has a role to play in this apocalypse. So the letters are trying to show them what they did wrong and how to prevent it. But as you see as the issues progress, there's more to it than that. And some of the future selves are actually trying to pull the strings and dictate what the past ones do. Not all the letters are from who you think they're from. In this book, number 6 kind of shows before what happened before issue 1. So you see a couple of characters in the future and what they were up to before the bunker was initially discovered and how they may have doctored things or affected things for their own benefit. So it was good. Again, it was kind of a setup issue for where the next arc's going, but it's definitely an interesting book. And that's Josh Hill, Fialkov, and I can't remember who's drawing it, but it has a very like distinct art style to it.
I just remember the first one came out, and I was tired, and it had the notes, and it was in handwriting, and I just looked at it, I'm like, that ain't going to work. So I never got to number 1. I just knew.
They didn't do a whole lot, like, with the handwriting stuff throughout, but in this issue, you actually see him, as he's talking to the computer, saying, handwriting sample, whatever, compose a note. But yeah, that first issue, if you were tired or not into it, you could not read it. Archer and Armstrong, number 24. I think this is the penultimate issue.
Okay.
Or at least it's going on hiatus. Fred Van Lent.
Well, they're in Delinquents, right?
They are. Yeah, so Fred Van Lent, I think 25 is his last issue with Archer and Armstrong, and then he's writing Delinquents. And it seems like Valiant's doing this with a lot of their first, or the books they launched with. They're putting them on hiatus as they're launching new books. So I guess they're trying to control or keep a roster of like maybe 8 books going on at one time. But Archer Armstrong, this one focuses on not the main characters, but a character called Mary Maria. And she's been there from the beginning. She was also...
Yeah, they have a new book out coming called The 1%.
Oh, do they?
So, yeah, that might be...
So that's focusing on one of the sects. Okay. Yeah. So...
Sects. With a T.
Yeah, not sects.
Well, you have two books on the shelves, though,
So Mary Maria, she was in the cult with Archer. They both grew up in the cult that was run by this, senator and his wife. And throughout the series, as Archer and Armstrong have been, trying to uncover these conspiracies and get the bottom of, Archer's true parents and the supernatural ties with Armstrong, Mary Maria has also risen to power in one of the sects within this cult. So this issue shows how, she ended up with the cult in the first place and then ties in with the current story and how she's, taking revenge on a character who there's kind of a twist at the end. You don't realize who he actually is until the very end. But it's a pretty good book. It wasn't written by the main writer, Fred Van Lent, but it was a good origin story for her leading into the last issue. And then... Is there any other ones that I wanted to mention?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Oh, Superman Unchained. Are you guys reading that?
No, I have been. I just didn't get that one read. I'll read it, at about the speed it comes out.
It's one of those books that I'm waiting for trade, because I think it's going to be reading better.
I think it'll read really well.
I don't want to wait for it, because it seems like it's something that's been delayed.
Yeah, I think the Jim Lee on art has kind of delayed it a bit, but it's worth it. It's been a gorgeous book. But
isn't that the last issue, or is there one left?
One more, this month or next month, I'm not sure, but... Number 9 is the last.
January, who knows?
But, so number 8, you still see, it's almost entirely a fist fight between Superman and Wraith, and Superman is just getting his ass handed to him throughout the entire fight. And you see a lot similar to, I think it was number one or number two in this series, where Superman is, you know, internally trying to figure out, like, how, what he has to do to kind of fight dirty, trying to think about what would Bruce do, Batman. So how would he, you know, strategize or fight dirty to kind of win over someone who's more powerful than him? So, and he finally, you know, comes to some sort of strategy, and it starts to work out. So that you see the book start to, the tides are turning, and Superman has the upper hand on Wraith and kind of takes it to General Lane, who's been in control of Wraith. And then it ties back to some of the earlier issues with Jimmy Olsen and Lex Luthor, who, you know, it's been so long, I almost forgot that he popped up and had a little bit of involvement in the beginning of the book. So it looks like they're building towards some sort of conclusion with number nine.
They better be.
See how they're doing it. But it just, for a while, it seemed like one of those books where it was just going to wrap things up very suddenly at the end. And so this one kind of, it does it in a more organic way. It doesn't feel like it's rushed or anything. So that's it for mine.
Okay. Well, I was thinking we've been going for quite a while here. I don't know if we're going to hit previews. I don't know.
We did a regular podcast.
Yeah, it's an hour and 15. So I guess we'll talk about the one thing that I just... It came up real late in the day. There's a podcast I listen to. It's local guys called Comic Book Pit. And one's a customer. One used to come by every once in a while, but he works out at New Dimension out at Century 3. And then there's another guy who I guess is an artist. I don't know if he's probably come in, but I don't know him. But they've been talking about a friend of theirs, Nick Marino, has been moved to L.A. or moved to California and has been working on this book. And today, Bleeding Cool posted a thing saying that Action Lab wants you to know that this book is for mature audiences only. And so I clicked on it and looked, and the book is called Holy F-Word.
Fire Truck.
Yeah.
Holy
and
Fire Trucks. Holy frack.
With a star in place of the U, and then at least in the images they had so far, it had censored across the second word, although not completely obliterating it. And then I noticed Nick Marino's name as the writer. And I'm like, oh, okay, so they'd been talking about this book, but they hadn't been able to name it. I don't know if it was a case of they were keeping it. I always assumed it was because they were keeping it a secret. But maybe it wasn't. But so I read it, and later on it shows you the name. Maybe it was just like an interior or first page with the...
Yeah, the U start
the,
out.
The U start out, but the word right there. And I just sent a note to the Comic Book Pit guys, because I know, you know, they've been talking about it and hoping to spur some conversation with them on it. But just basically saying, you know, I understand they're going for shock and stuff, but they're going to miss out on sales because a lot of stores won't even bother to carry it. That's not a book I can put on the shelf. I can't have Mom and Timmy come in and, you know, looking for the next, you know, Superman issue or, you know, the next Peanuts or something, and Timmy walks past and says, hey, look, Mom, that book is, and, you know, Timmy's 10 and can put two and two together and knows what that second word is and says it out loud, and all of a sudden, you know, that goes
out. You're
calling
the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
Yeah, and I, you know, and it's just...
What's wrong with that fire?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, depending on how they do it, but still, it's just, it's grief I don't need, and... the other thing I said, you know, if it was Garth Ennis or Mark Miller doing it, okay, you know, I had Kick-Ass on the shelf, but, well,
TV
not great.
Censor yeah,
but,
ass.
But
right,
Kick-Ass
but not,
is kind
no, no.
of a lower tier than...
Right, but not great. You know, I did feel kind of bad putting that out there, but...
I mean, you can say it once and still get a PG-13 rating.
Right, yeah, but I'd rather not have, you know, PTA Mom
what
coming in.
What is it on Christmas Story?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
The F-dash-dash-dash word.
Yeah. But I just kind of sent this, and I'm just like, not saying that comic store owners are prudes or anything, but that just looks like headaches I
don't
need. And he... The one guy responded back to me saying, yeah, basically the store, because I mentioned, like, they shop at Phantom of the Attic in Oakland. And I'm like, it may be different there. That's a college when they probably have a lot less moms and kids coming in, you know, in the middle of Oakland. He said, and he responded back saying they have a no profanity policy, you know, I'm assuming on the covers. Because I also mentioned, you know, like Tarot, I had to, you know, stop or start getting blackout covers for that because he liked putting little naked nymphs in the corners. I'm like, stop putting nudity on the cover. It's not that hard. Do what you want inside. I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't put it on the cover.
That's the question just to ask. How do you suggest I advertise your book?
Well, and he said they have a lot of creative ways of blacking out that bottom word. I'm like, the problem is stores are going to look at that and go, yep, I'm not even going to bother with it. And it's from Action Lab, from two creators you've never heard of. You know,
they're okay, not established guys.
If so. I was going to order two copies, it's not going to kill me not to order those two copies.
Well, it's making it hard on themselves.
You know, yeah. And I'm like, I think they're, and that's basically what I was saying. I said, you know, I think you're kind of shooting yourselves in the foot right off the bat.
Even if they wanted to do that, why would Action Labs?
Yeah, well, it's their danger zone. You know, it's the one that they do the nude cover of
Zombie Tramp.
Tramp and stuff, which is fine that I order specifically for people. But, you know, just that's, there's a line and that's even going over, you know, naked boobs are one thing. That word.
And they can't, well, you could do something like that with a variant cover where they could at least have a separate cover. But this is the logo to the book. This is the title of the book.
Well, yeah. We don't know because it says censored on it. And I don't know if, is that Diamond censoring it for the previews?
If which that's they the do. Case, then.
But I don't know. But it's a case of where I'm not going to look too hard on this. Because it's kind of like, aha, yeah. And he responded back, like, I can send you a PDF, and you can see, you know, we have a lot of neat ideas and stuff. And I replied to him. I said, sadly, it has absolutely nothing to do with the content of your book. It has everything to do with the cover.
And how you're supposed to display it.
You put a big stop sign on your cover.
Yeah, how can you market that?
And I can't, you know, hey, have you tried Holy... No, I, you know...
And the whole thing about it is they didn't just put a, they didn't just put a stop sign on the cover for, like... For customers, they put it on the cover, a stop sign for you.
Right.
That's the first step of it entering the store is you. If it doesn't get past you...
And I'm not trying to censor it or anything, but I'm just looking at it, I'm going, and this is what I responded back to him, too. I said, the risk-reward for the book isn't enough.
Yeah.
You know, if I sell two and maybe make $4, is that $4 I make worth... You know, like I said, Timmy seeing that and upsetting some mom and her talking to her friends and all of a sudden
but you have parents that come in with kids to get books. Are they going to get their books and
be offended and not come back?
Sometimes they have to come with their kids because there's nobody at home to watch the kids. Yeah. So they have to come in and run their errands or something like that. You can't.
But
I've been in here with a little kid, you know, here, Timmy, go stand and, you know, go look at your books in the kiddie pile, and they're running around.
Well, and one thing I said to said is, if they open up a book and see something inappropriate, I'll take that risk. That's on them. They went out of their way to do something. Whereas just looking on the shelf, they can see that at any time.
Just put it in front of their face.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, and even if, you know, you can't even say, well, I'll put it up on the top rack... That might fix the problem, right. But probably not.
So what's your thoughts on if it is censored?
That's what I said. I said you would have a better chance selling this book if it had a big censored across the bottom word. But I think still a lot of stores
aren't... That might be a little too tongue-in-cheek.
Well, and the other thing I said to him was, there's a lot... You know, I didn't say this specifically, but I said, as a store that carries a lot of smaller press, I'm not going to carry this. Whereas there's a lot of stores that just order Marvel and DC and don't really pay attention to a lot of the other ones. So, I mean, you already have a narrow market you're going for in your further...
Why don't you just put it in your pornography room?
Right, yeah. And I said, that's what I said to him last. I said, I'll order a couple copies, but it'll be behind the counter and someone will have to actually ask for it.
But even there...
Where are you going there?
Well, but even there, how are we going to know to ask? It's not like you can...
Right, I know.
We have Holy...
I know.
They're not as known, too. They're Action Lab, so you want to have it on this shelf.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do with it. Now, granted, it's going to be in the next preview, so there's a lot of time. But I was just basically saying, and now Joe was in, and he was, I mentioned it to him, and he said he's been on his website, and he said he is very anti-establishment, how far can I push the envelope type of thing. And I'm like, well, that's fine if you don't want to sell anything.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to sell a product...
He's not trying to get an
That's not the point. You're trying to sell it.
Yeah.
I guess.
I can understand the creative issues with it because it's just like, well, you're stifling my creativity with doing this. But it's not about that. Once you put it in the store, you have to sell it. Otherwise, you're not going to have any creativity because you're not selling a book. They're not making anything for
the product. Yeah, put it out for free on the internet.
They're putting more money. Action Labs is investing money into this book for it to work. And if it's not going to, you know, if it's already going to be a problem like that, then... then it's not worth it.
But it's just one of those things. Do I want that headache?
Well, how did that title get past Action Labs though?
Well, they it's their danger zone, which is their edgy.
Yeah, but that's still
I know, but somebody thought it was a good idea.
I mean, the only other thing you can do,
and they just weren't thinking about my position.
See,
they were thinking about the customer. Oh, it's a neat idea. It's a nun, Rambo, something like that. I'm like, I don't care what it's about.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with it.
It could be the best book, but you can't sell it.
I said this could be the best written, most beautiful art you've ever seen. I'm not putting it on my
shelf. The only other thing that they can do is bag it. And then have
But then where are you?
But
you
still have
to put like a big HF on it, and people will just know. Like, but it's just like the cover is what sells it. Once they see a certain cover or something about it that's colorful, it draws the attention to the eye.
That was something I brought up to Dan because, like I said, Dan works weekends over at New Dimension, and one thing I emailed him just saying I'd like to hear your take on covers. Only because as I'm moving the wall every Tuesday and looking at the covers as I'm shifting the books, some covers are great and make me go, gosh, I want to read that. But so many of them are just either a pinup
or a splash
or just a muddy mess where I couldn't even, there was one called The Last Fall. I couldn't even read the cover. I couldn't find the words the way it was. It was just a muddy brown cover. I'm like, this isn't jumping off the shelf at me. Yeah. Like I'm looking over here at the DC wall and I mean, a lot of the, the logos are jumping. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on there, and just so many people don't put that in on their covers. They don't take that. And I asked Dan, I said, so if you're at New Dimension, could you, that's a mall store. You get all sorts of people walking through there. Could they really put this book on the shelf? Would that be something they'd be willing to do? I think this one is just where the cover is literally going to kill the book.
Is it the shock value, maybe, that they're just
I guess that's what they're
the
going
shock?
For, but yeah.
But
I
that
just
could look, that could backfire really easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see.
Shock value for shock value's sake is...
It depends on the store, too, but you're more of a, you could be more of a family store in a way, because anybody of any age can come in here.
Yeah.
But there are certain comic book stores that aren't, but those places probably aren't making what you could make because your selection.
Well, right, but they also not going to carry an Action Lab book.
Are
they
going to
take the
chance? But they might, I could see, one of these, maybe not the store. I'm not going to name any stores, but I could see certain stores that are kind of run down and stuff like that. They probably sell stuff out of a back room. And they can put stuff back there, or they can censor it by some way. But in that, it's not.
But it's not even that kind of book. I mean, that kind of
that
book.
That also limits where you can sell your book.
Yeah.
It limits the, not a lot of book places.
Barnes and Noble is not
going to carry this book. A, a comic book store like yours isn't going to, I don't know what you're going to do, but it's going to have a harder time doing that. It just makes sense. I don't get their thought process.
No, neither did I. Like I didn't understand it. So
even if it's censored,
right?
It's still like, how are people? Some people are going to have to come in and ask for this book. Are they going to have to ask you out loud?
Holy right.
And then some kid's going to be standing behind them, like, what did he just say?
Because I do cringe when customers swear in the store. It's like, because you don't know who's around. But yeah,
it's either blessed or
So we'll see how this goes. But yeah, I saw that and I'm just like, not a good idea. So
what is your plan exactly?
I have no idea. It'll be in the next preview.
He's got 3 months to figure the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say if it is, and it is on the title, what are you going to do?
Like I said, I might just order a couple and just have it under the counter, and if somebody asks for it, because I just don't see any way to put it on the counter, or put it out in one of the black bagged blacked out bags I have. But then where are you going?
Just go open all those Death of Superman bags and just put them in there.
So it just.
Well, they could always do that. They could always, as I said, poly bag it, but then that raises the price on them.
Well, and you can't flip through it.
I don't know if you want them to flip through it.
People buy a book sight unseen,
because of polybag. Because
you don't know what it is.
The hard way again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was fun.
That's a podcast.
No, I got to go over next week's stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then that'll be a podcast.
Okay, we got Aliens, Fire and Stone. Prometheus, Fire and Stone blew out of here like crazy and sold out from Dark Horse, which normally doesn't happen that quick. So, actually, I have to up my order on this because that one did very, very well. Amazing Spider-Man 1.5, the end of that fantastically received Spider-Man story.
Are you down to single issues on that?
I hope, but I don't know.
What will 2.1 bring?
There won't be a 2.1. This is it. It was a 5-issue miniseries. That instead of doing it as a miniseries, well, yeah,
could be another 1.something.
1.5.
Yeah, but I have to say, my faith in their points is gone. Aquaman and the others. That's Future's End.
That'll tie into the Aquaman.
There's a lot
too
that you can do with a point.
Yeah, I wish you'd make.
There's a lot Marvel can do with their points. Batman Death of the Family Book and Joker Mask. I know people are excited about that. Booster Gold Futures End. Butterfly is a book from Boom. It's a covert ops book. Intrigued by that. Catwoman Futures End. Edge of Spider-Verse number 3. So this one is shipping weekly. Whereas Death of Wolverine is not, but it was supposed to.
It's weekly-ish.
Ish.
They'll always ship on weeks.
Ish.
Just not necessarily
consecutive
weeks.
Gotcha. Flash Futures End. G.I. Joe number 1. They're relaunching that with a new number 1.
Yo, Joe.
Harley Quinn, Futures End number 1. Inhuman number 6. They are catching up. They're going to get number 7 out on time.
Does anybody care anymore?
I did doubt them. No. Sales on that one.
Right, but it started in, or supposed to start in January, there's still a few months.
Justice Inc. number 2. Number 1 sold quite well. It's the Shadow...
Phantom,
somebody else, one of the pulp characters from Dynamite. Justice League Dark Futures End, the Marvel Covers Artist Edition. I'm excited about seeing that, where it's just a book of all classic Marvel covers, the original art. So that looks good. New Avengers is tying into TRO, what's that again? Time Runs Out. That's the 8 month later thing. Outcast number 4. Red Lantern's Future End book is coming. Roche Limit. From number one from Image, something about a guy going out into something about space travel. I was trying to read it and I couldn't focus.
You've been having
Wednesday's a hard day for me to try to do stuff because it's a long day.
I read this book, but I couldn't focus.
I was trying to read the description and it was like blah 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 blah, and I'm like, oh, yeah. No, I mean it wasn't getting to the point.
I was
the description,
like, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
wah,
wah, the description wah, wah, just wasn't getting to any point. Saga number 23, Sinestro Futures End, and Star Spangled War Stories featuring G.I. Zombie Futures End, longest title of the week. Star Trek City on the Edge of Forever, which has been doing really, really well.
It's been good.
Good. Superman Doomed number 2, the end of that, I guess. Superman Futures End, and a book called Town Called Dragon. Again, I couldn't quite figure it out, but
it's a town,
something to do with a
dragon.
Yeah. So those are the highlights from next week. Lots of other stuff coming as well.
I watched the DC All Access today with Jim Lee and Danny Dio, and he was saying that Booster Gold, which you've already said, but also Superman Doomed number 2, are going to have a lot of hints as to the next year for DC Comics.
Well, cool.
It's been a fun book.
Cool. Adam?
That's podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. Maybe we'll hit previews. Unless we read too much, which I do try to do. I'll try to read.
Reviews,
I promise.
Of Gotham next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk
TV
about Gotham.
Shows come back.
Yeah. Oh, and I was supposed to talk about my 8th anniversary. Oh, well, I forgot.
It happened. He is out of sorts.
That's part of the reason I didn't get a lot read, because Saturday was the 8th anniversary party, and I was pretty spent when I got home.
Well, luckily, a lot of people spent.
Yes, that was a good day. Good day. I think people got a lot of good stuff.
Some of your sales are still going on, right?
The buy one, get one free trade sale is going on probably until Friday. Then we got to make room for the Magic pre-release on Saturday and Sunday.
All your dollar issues
are... Dollar books are all now 5 for $1, but somebody took a whole long box out of that
yesterday.
Yeah. So that was good. That's about it. I'm pooped. I'm going home. We'll talk to you next week.
Here.
I do not live here now. See ya.
Buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil. evil scientist, sorcerer supreme. All the teenagers are buying this gamma radiation. Nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. Winter soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction. Bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood. Acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Like my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And fund the Hellfire Society. Studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops. My mixtapes still rock. They're in your system. That's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these limited children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blonde when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes.